Con te partirò a volare, poporo popopopo. How we should start, boys? Buongiorno, buonasera, benvenuti, welcome everyone to Fratelli di Rugby Podcast, the winning podcast against the Scots.
The winning one, yes.
The winning one.
The winning one at home.
The winning at home.
11 years. 11 years.
Let's go,
Empire Strike Backs, we can say. You want to see yeah, that, yeah. With the mythology of the Roman Empire, the Empire Strike Backs.
Oh, man, that's so funny.
Let's go, Forza. Here we are, our guest today on a special podcast on Sunday. We're doing it on Monday, but today on Sunday, nice day, we were ready. What a Six Nation weekend, said Samuele. So, yes. Guys, all for you.
March, you go ahead, mate.
I think we should talk about emotion at the end. I mean, I think the seeing those scenes and the celebrations, our good friend Seb, seeing how from minute sort of when he comes off the bench, he looks like he exposes just as much energy when he's off the pitch in terms of his head's in his hands. He doesn't know where to look. Like, he is just living and breathing every second of that last 10 minutes. And I think we were all the same. Just, I think the longer it got on, and even when Scotland scored, I just thought, I had a feeling about that game. And I feel once Barney scores, and I think when Garvisi kicks that penalty, I'm just thinking, it's just going to be our day today. But that sequence, that final defensive sequence, was just mega. Mega.
And
for me, the overwhelming emotion was just how proud I was of that squad. I mean, we've spoken to people in there. We know people in there. We feel a connection with that squad now. And to just see how much it meant to them, it was just superb. And I felt incredibly proud to be able to have that right there.
Yeah.
So, guys, another heads up. Today we are live on Twitter. And I want to say hi to the five people connected on Twitter. And, of course, on YouTube. But you can listen us on Spotify as soon as the video end today. So that was great, Mike.
Yes, mate. What weekend?
Yep.
Possibly the best weekend. Possibly the best weekend of Six Nation rugby ever, right?
Plus the under-20s. So it's
the under-20s as well. Yes.
Yeah, we need to talk about the under-20s as well, just to touch upon that. 40-0 in the second half, boys.
Yeah, stunning performance in that second.
Comeback. What a comeback.
Yeah. What a comeback. But yeah, I just sort of to echo what March was saying, boys. You know, we're incredibly fortunate that we've got, you know, this great connection with the national team and the players. And we've been almost like passengers on this journey that has been happening. And you can see sort of the belief within the players and the camp, and now it's starting to sort of come to fruition, and everything that we have been trying to sort of vocalize and articulate over the past, you know, 9 months, 10 months since we've been doing this is starting to come true. And it's, you know, quite a satisfaction for us as well. So, you know, really, really proud of the boys. You know, they stuck in deep, and just before we looked back on, I watched the last 5 minutes again, just
yeah,
to get myself in the right headspace for this, because those boys worked, man. They worked so hard, and you could see how much it meant to them. So, what a weekend of rugby. So, so happy.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm happy maybe the three times more than usual, because we came from a week where there were a lot of commentary about Linag being Italian, wearing the Azzurri jersey, and the best is when a guy like him, a guy like Brex, a guy like Stephen Varney, Lorenzino Varney from Gloucester scored the try. So those were like to shut down some chatty mouth.
And singing the anthem, singing the anthem as well before. I loved that from Linus. That was,
Luigi said that he studied with his mom.
Yeah, and the seeing him afterwards as well, like, and you could see when he scores that try, all of the subs, like everyone just straight on top of him. Like you can see that it meant a lot to him, and you could see everyone else getting around him. So it was a really nice moment. And also at the end as well, like you could see how much he enjoyed that as well. And in his post-match interview. And I think if we take the emotion out of it a little bit for a moment, that there was no, I mean, in every game of rugby, you have moments, big moments. And I just thought, we won the big moments, and it wasn't like there was any sort of luck. I don't think it was Scotland were bad. I just feel like that was just a really, really brilliant game of rugby that we actually won. We played really well in, and both sides, you know, sort of went for it. And it wasn't a fluke, was it? It wasn't like oh my God, how have Italy won that? It was Italy just outright deserved that, outright deserved to win the game.
Yeah, I think it's hard to argue that we don't deserve that win. Yeah. I'm sure that we can go on Twitter and there's probably a fair few people that will argue that, but it's just a hard position to come from. You know, like you said, I think there were big moments in the games, even if they were sort of fairly innocuous, like a tackle or, you know, a big hit and dominant hits, which there were a fair few in the game. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I think we played that well, and here's the craziest thing, boys. That wasn't perfect for us. We weren't great. We could be. There's still margin for growth there.
Especially which first is, half.
Yeah. Especially the first half. There's a large margin of growth for our young team. And again, you know, not to labour the point too much, but most inexperienced team, most youngest team. In Six Nations history, by the way, there's a lot there for us to work with. So under-20s are winning, young team is winning, future looks pretty good. Now we need to back it up, boys.
Yeah, we're on a 2-match unbeaten streak. Yeah,
ooh, something new for us. there are reading a lot of comments. So I'm reading from YouTube, but we're gonna spoke later on about the under-20 games. We're gonna still focus on Italy's game. We are just at the beginning, boys, let's go straight in. The best player, the unsung hero of the week. Let's go straight there, because then we have to touch a lot of other points about this game. But
shall we do best player and unsung? Because
best and unsung. Let's go. Best and unsung. Okay. I have a couple of ideas. The best for me, I'm sticking with the man of the match, with Nacione Brex, Lindo Brex. So I'm going with him.
Is Phantom here? In this right now.
No, he went to run today, so he's gonna listen later on. Cheers, Phantom. Cheers from Saludos de Argentina. Yes. Let's say that. But him and the unsung. Yes, I'm with Eduardo. It's Mr. Captain, the skipper, Michele Lamaromic.
Yeah.
Absolutely massive player. Always so I don't know, so smart,
lucid. Yeah.
A little bit crazy, Quesada said, but in the press conference, no, starting from him, all the team, it's a little bit crazy, but the captain is more than everyone, and it's great. So Lamaro and Brex,
got
Mike
March
and March.
March,
okay. I mean, I think I lead the party for the Menoncello fan club. I feel like I am the man that runs that club. I've been saying it on my TikTok today. I've said it to a group chat around, and to see everyone recognize how good this player is, and people are talking about him and Brex as being one of the best centre partnerships in world rugby, not just in European rugby, in the world. And I genuinely believe that right now, Menoncello is right up there with the best centres on the planet. I just think he can do no wrong. He has just got everything you want from a 12. He is just phenomenal. So for me, it was between him and Brex for man of the match. However, when it comes to unsung hero, I mean, you could take your pick. I mean, everyone performed yesterday, and you really could take a pick. But there are a few names for me. I thought Ross Vincent was brilliant. I really did think he was really good. Lamaro, yes, was, but you've already picked him, so I I think we've just spoken about him before. Maybe, yes, the largest growing fan club. Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I'm going to go with Monty Iwanyc because we talked about how hard he worked, and I don't think I've ever seen him work that hard in a game of rugby before. It just looked like it meant a little bit more to him yesterday. He was everywhere. He made dominant tackles. He carried hard. He carried well. He didn't necessarily get a lot of ball in space, but he was just, his work rate was just through the roof. I mean, you literally could take your pick, but I'll go with Monty.
Monty Ioane, 3 tackles in the last, in 40 seconds we were counting before. He had one dominant, another one neutral, and another one from the side.
Potentially try saving, Jesus. So,
well done by him. Talking about Monty Ioane, he totalized 15 tackles, one more than Nacho Brex, and it was the best back about tackle. And then, of course, we have the crazy amount of tackles by Lamaro, 28, Vincent, 21, Ruzza, 18. And then we find a couple of Scots in the middle, but let's focus on Italy today.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just because March obviously mentioned a fair few that would get it, there's one person that like all my friends keep messaging me about, and it was this week and last week. Nicotera, again, coming in, working hard in the loose. He's another one that could potentially have gotten the unsung, but yeah, I'm quite happy with everyone that everyone's mentioned.
How good was our scrum as well, though?
Really
especially
well.
Especially in the last 20 minutes. Like, my goodness me.
Mirko just comes in and he just I know Otto and March, we said it when he made the step up from the URC. He didn't look out of place in the URC, but to make the step up and play how he has played at test level rugby, man's a freak. And a lot more to come from that guy as well.
Here we have a new comment from Antonio. The Italian team is young enough to play another 10 years at top level. Like today, that means since next year we can plan to win the Six Nations. Boom, strong. Picking this example, I think this is a team that is starting like the generation, the Lamaro generation, let's say, because they know how bad it is to lose. Like, happened last year, we were together watching live in New Zealand and France game during the World Cup. We were not together, but I feel your pain when we lost against Georgia. But between that, we had some winning, and now it seems that everything we are doing, there's no more that situation where we don't know what to do, even when we are losing. I don't know, the body language change in the players, even in the other games, you can see them being really, really focused on what we are doing, more mature. You know? And that is going to be something really good for us because now the cups start counting, because it means something, a lot of cups, a World Cup on our shoulder, like the same Pani, but Menoncello wasn't there, but almost. And the captain too. So I think that is a good point where we can keep growing, because that's the point. Keep growing and focusing on performance more than a result, because if we play well, the results can come.
Yeah, but there's one point there, which, again, just to build on, everything is growth, right? Passo dopo passo, step by step, we're learning, yeah. Right? Lamaro, this time, didn't choose to bang our head against, you know, kicking to the touchline and trying to maul over like we did in his first tenure. You know, remember when we were camped out in front, I think it was the English like try line. We should have taken the points and just kept the scoreboard ticking over. And, you know, he's learned from that and, you know, understand the process and put ourselves in a position where, you know, we can put a try on the board and build some pressure on the other team, because, you know, in a pressureless game, we're always in trouble. So, it's a lot of growth already, and, you know, looking forward to seeing a lot more.
It felt like we managed the game really well as well. It didn't didn't feel like we were doing silly things. It felt like we were just doing the right things at the right time. And that's what I watched it back this morning in full. And that's what sort of came across to me, is it wasn't sort of chaos. It wasn't rushed. It was plenty of intent and plenty of, I mean, the way we came onto the ball after the breakdown and the phase play was just, it was, you're watching the collisions and our boys were just carrying so hard and so aggressive. Seb is Seb. And I think we massively missed that at points, the Six Nations one, because he is the leader of the sort of how hard can we carry crew. He is that man. And the way that we were carrying the ball was just relentless. And it was just took so much out of Scotland. And we just played the right games in the right areas of the pitch. And I've got to say it. I mean, we were all, when we heard the news of Kieran Crowley being ultimately sacked and Quesada brought in, it kind of sat here being like, maybe that was a really good decision, because it feels like this team have come on so much. I mean, we were spanked in the World Cup, totally, totally spanked. And then we've, how good we've been the Six Nations by the sort of the Italian game. The Irish game, sorry, we've been brilliant. And had the ball not fallen off the tee against France, we could genuinely be competing for second place potentially this weekend coming up, had we won that game against France, which is a crazy, crazy concept.
Yeah.
I was thinking something like that. Mike.
Yes, mate. Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, it's a crazy turnaround. And I think sort of the pragmatism put less pressure on our defense, you know, running it out and stuff means that, you know, we're playing in the right positions of the pitch, which means that actually if there's a line break, chances are, you know, we have more territory to try and recuperate. And I think, you know, Brex chasing back and making that cover tackle was the perfect example. You know, last year, if we were playing in the wrong areas of the pitch, Christie runs and scores that try from the intercept that he makes. So, hey, listen, we're in a position now where we're playing a more pragmatic game. But I think there are kudos in terms of like our ball handling skills and maybe some of our attacking prowess, which, you know, that thumbprint will always remain. But so far, Quesada's done a fantastic job. And I think that's sort of a fair statement. You know, you can only base on what he's done, and what he's done so far looks very, very promising for the future. So kudos to him, man. Looking forward to seeing what more he can do with this team as well.
Off talk defensively, how good were we as well? I mean, you can probably talk a little bit more analytically, but it just felt like aggressive. We were really aggressive.
You can see some difference in the style, and we're gonna see more in defense, because this is gonna be, next week is gonna be last game with Gusen on board as a defensive coach. So who knows? Maybe Quesada himself is gonna be more focused on the defense, as he was at Jaguares 2019. He was at coach, but really well focused on the defense. Something different seems like when we are in a situation with scramble defense after a line break, everybody just stay on track. Nobody loses head. Seems like we are really organized and quite fast to back in the game after a tackle and being straight. Sometimes sounds in some area maybe a little bit more focusing on the role in defense more than feeling the defense and go up strong, but still we have players, leaders in defense. Lamare is one of them, because he's always step at least 5 meters out of the line, faster than everybody, fronting the ball carrier. We have the defense by Ioane, because was one of the best in defense this week, trying to be dominant there. We have Menoncello bringing players behind the gain line. So a lot of, and also the double, it's work well. So I think defensively we are struggling less, because we are more ready to compete, ready to fight. That's probably the best thing. No? We sounds like we are ready, and we don't give up after one line break or after a try. Depends a lot by the players you have in the field. Like Vincent is one that never give up. he's a fighter, and you can see in the way he play, Mr. Domino Pizza Man.
Hey, yeah. Can we just touch on Vincent again, right? He's had 2.5 caps, right? He got one off the bench. He's had 2 starting caps, and he does not look out of place at test level either. Like, he is a sensational prospect.
I mean, how many senior games has he played for Chiefs? Can't be many. What?
Less. I'd say less than 10, maybe. Like, including exactly. The Premiership Cup.
To go from that, and this is sort of been. I mean, we've spoken to him. This is his real first season in senior rugby, ultimately. And the fact that he's playing like he is on the international stage in a Six Nations game is nuts, really. But I think that speaks volumes of the amount of quality we have and the amount of belief we have in this young squad. That is literally the most exciting thing. This side is just so young. And the fact that they're all doing what they're doing at such a young age together, and so many of these players are going to grow together and develop together, you know, it's so exciting that what we've got on our hands.
Yeah, what we lack in like absolute mass, we're starting to make up with like pace, like sheer, like aggressive pace. He is to step a winger on the outside, they're back on the inside, and make another 40 yards is mental right from the halfway line, and that on the lead up to Barney's try. Yeah, man, he's an impressive specimen, and we need to look after him. But yeah, again, like, we've got a headache in the back row again, boys. Believe it or not, we've got another headache.
We do. Yeah, I don't know. But that's great to have an options and to have a 23-man squad. It's what you need. It's what you need to be successful, to have a 23-man squad. It's not about 15. It's about bringing players off the bench that can come on, make an impact and be as good as the ones on it. That's the whole aim, isn't it?
Yeah.
And before talking about this point, about the attack, the way to attack, Vincenzo dropped the bomb in the chat. Oof. So Ross Vincent, the new Parisse.
he has lots of potential, right? But Parisse is a very different player.
He's also a different era of number eights as well. He's sort of like the offloading eight that out the back door offload, sort of the skillful moves. Like Vincent is, I imagine Vincent's an incredibly much, much quicker than Parisse. Parisse wasn't necessarily blessed with a load of pace. Vincent looks like he could play 12 if necessary.
Yeah, well, someone brought the parallel to us last week, but if we're gonna look at sort of what mold Vincent could be right in the future, and again, right, I specify could be. I'm not saying he is right now, but he has a little bit of Ardy about him. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like pace. He has a bit of like explosive power into contact. Like, he reads the game really well. He gives himself the option in midfield. He gives himself the option around the corner. Like, he's just a busy player. Like, really busy. He did 18 tackles again this week. He did 18 last week, which was second last week, second again this week, only to the captain. He's busy, and he's 21 years old.
The tackle deliver, we can say, the glove of the tackles.
I can't wait for your memes, mate. I can't wait.
The white helmet. the Ninja Turtle Leonardo. So many of these. So many. Menoncello 12, Vincent 13, Lorenzo. Here we are. Saying a lot of stuff, but this is an interesting point by Antonio. The way we kick twice behind the line and we score. And he said, of course, with the pull pass in the Italian style, we can score with multiple options. And actually, the way we kick with the first try for Brex and the second one with the line break, with the try by Linag, you see a lot of the improvement that is trying to bring Quesada to the team. Because in attack, for example, in the first line out we went in the crush ball and then we switch and we went to the blind side and they put almost out of the position the wing, and the second time they keep staying on that side, so Ornes to cover across, but there is the kick by Pajero behind the line. Nobody was covering there, and Brex is quick and can get the ball. So that is something you can see, the switch of play from the first line out and then putting in action the other weapon. So using the kick behind in that case, and the second one with Lenag is almost the same. Change the style of the kick, but there's always that space to be attacked behind. And so I think in attack they're doing a really good job finding the right option for every game to attack in that way, giving the best player the position to attack. Menoncello is attacking everywhere. Ioane come to play everywhere in the field. We know when we need Negri and when we need to push out the ball with the pull pass. Really, really well this attack, I think. Interesting. We can score more, yes, because we had a couple of opportunities, right, guys? The Mori run with two players, that was a good one. What do you think was the best option there? Keep Grubber. The ball, kicking, and then pressure. Grubber. Kick and pressure. Kick and chase.
Just like if he grubbered through, they both would have to turn round. If he is the one grubbering, he has the advantage because he's the one kicking, so he knows that he's going to kick. Worst case scenario, they outpace him and they kick the ball out. We have a net gain. A grubber would have been perfect there, I think. Like, just coming up, like, if he sees them there and he's not coming off, like, the speculative offload over the right shoulder, just it's low percentage play for me. Just grubber. It, admittedly, low percentage, but just take the hit and recycle, right? Those are the two options. But for me, grubber would have been the play. Force him in the corner.
Was that the one after the deliberate knock on, though?
No.
Which one are we on about?
That was pressure on, who was there? Van der Merwe from Capozzo. Capozzo rush out really well. Really well defensive play by Capozzo this week. And then Mori get this ball in the hands and start running with Menoncello on his right. Capozzo coming back from from the inside, more or less, and then he get tackled by two players. So
it was Capozzo was tackling Van der Merwe as well in that second half. Yeah. Van der Merwe looked at him, and in the first half he carried him like a little baby, and then I think in the second half he looks at Capozzo and he just thinks, "I'm going to run straight through you. I don't need to look at anything else because I'm just going to run straight through you." And Capozzo stood his ground, and I actually think like Capozzo, I mean, we know what he can do with the ball, but I thought defensively and just doing the basics and doing his job, he was really, 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 really good and really a reliable player yesterday. And he did the dirty bits that you've got to do as a 15. And he did those really well.
It's funny you say that, right? Because actually, I know the commentators pointed it out, and actually it's something that I see as well. Yes, right? He definitely thought he could run through him. But after getting bundled out into touch twice by him, he didn't want to go on the blind. He was cutting inside every single time. And actually, the fact that Capozzo did it twice, they butchered a clear try-scoring opportunity because he cut on the inside and then the player was trying to cross, well, try and do the switch, right, round onto the blind. Yeah, but because he wasn't going to go onto the blind, he literally just started carrying, his body shape was all wrong to pass it back. And they absolutely butchered that. And I think that's because of the work Capozzo put in the second half, just like really, like, he's like Jack Russell, just nipping at his heels constantly, just nipping at his heels constantly until he's like this big Alsatian was like, "I don't want any of that. I'll just run inside."
Big character.
By the way, Italy, ninth place in the world ranking.
Love Australia.
Poor Australia, but sorry, Australia, not sorry, Australia. Happy for that. Anyway, so let's take a 30-second break with our reminder.
Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Drop us a follow on X, former Twitter, and follow us on Instagram and TikTok. You can listen for Fratelli D Rugby podcast on Spotify and every other platforms. We also have a group chat on WhatsApp. So message us to join the family.
And here we go again. Message us if you want to grow and have so much pain with us. watching games, but not only Italy, of course, also Zebrin Benetton with our commentary, live delayed everything on the chat. Stats, of course, stats. I can give you a couple of stats, guys, because it's something interesting from this game.
You stats. You,
yes, me. I'm gonna try me? To give wow. you some interesting you? Stuff. So this game, it's interesting because we were let's say cleaner than usual. We kick more than usual. We gain more meters kicking the ball. We split in half the number of penalties since the average and since also last week. So only 5 penalties during the game. And we considered less handling errors during this week. Usually when we go down, really slow down these stats, we play well and we are almost close to win games, or we win games. The closest one that I remember is the one against Wales that we were almost perfect 2 years ago with stats really low numbers. So that is something to highlight, I think. And what other stuff to highlight, actually, I have to think, it's, of course, the Brex work, because Brex still is our second playmaker, because he touched the ball 10 times, but he's always pull pass. And another interesting, because we were speaking about Garbisi, the way he moves, it's interesting to see how Garbisi is different from Russell in the way he attack, because when we see the way, how many times Garbisi take the ball as a second receiver, so after a pull pass or after like another player that passed the ball to him, he went growing during the game. And before the Scotland game, he was the second receiver from pull pass on normal pass 13 times. On the other side, we see usually Finn Russell doing less than that. He has an average of 5 pull pass, and last week was only 4 times a second receiver. So different way to be a number 10 sometimes. And Garbisi can attack so much in that way. And that is something that he is almost freed up with the Toulon situation and Allan not being in the team. Seems like to be the guy.
Yeah, I talking about Garbisi.
Just T position. Let's walk about that.
I was gonna say, can we start a GoFundMe, boys? Like, let's get him a new tee, right? Sure, let's
buy a new tee.
Hey, yeah. but he showed serious balls, man. Because after what happened in France, the ball falls off the tee in the first couple of minutes. He then misses a really easy kick in front of the post, which I thought was going to really come back to bite us. But then to continue the way he played, and I thought he had a really good game, but to grab the ball and kick that penalty in later on in the second half, which ultimately won us the game, that showed massive, massive balls for me. And well, I was really impressed.
It's not only that. I don't know if it was, I can't remember who mentioned it in our chat, but they said if you're gonna exercise demons, that's the way you do it, right? Like, if you're gonna exercise the demons from last week. He kicked it and he laughed the moment it came off, all the way running back. And like, it was quite a cathartic moment for him, I think. Yeah. Like, he just sort of just took all of that pressure off him and made it into a bit of a joke. So yeah, but let's buy him a new tee. let's buy him a tee.
Let's put the number 9 with his tip finger on the index on top of the ball, at least doesn't fall. Even if it's flat, no wind, let's do it.
Even if it's indoors and there's flat and no wind.
Mamma mia, che paura. Che paura, I can say, when I saw that ball falling again. I said, not again. Here we go. Like the Phantom for real.
Oh, God, Phantom.
Brex is essential for this game style. The alternative will be Garbisi's first center of Marine. Guys,
I've had this discussion before. You're right.
Yeah, but also there is another thing about yesterday, Capuot had some issues on his index finger, I think. One of these, his hands was yes.
Get it.
So
put back in place.
if Capoz is not available for injury for one of his ends. Oh, salutiamo Leo. This is on Leo. Twitter, because
hey, yes. Leo.
Free. Ciao, Leo. But if Capuzzi is not available because has this issue with his finger. Yesterday, he was like stickado. You say stickado when you have like an hard stick and they wrap it up with something. Stickado.
Splinted. Yeah, splinted. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Stickado.
Yeah.
So, who's going to be in for Capuzzo as a fullback? Marin or Pani?
Ah,
because we have those two guys at the moment, right? We don't have Allan, so.
I love both. Like, they both bring different stuff. Like, I think, again, we're talking specifically for Wales, aren't we?
Specifically for Wales, yeah. Think about how Wales can attack us, what they can show us. And what we can do to them.
Yeah, I think actually, if we could gamble, put Menoncello on the wing, put Marin as a playmaker, and then you could put Mori in at 12 and Brex, and then you have a lot of firepower in midfield. But that's if you're going to keep it exactly the same as it is to like today. I'd probably put Pani in just to put pressure on the kicks because
I'm agreed. I don't want to change. I don't want to change what we've done in the last two games. I think for us to finish this Six Nations really well, I think we just need to make as few changes as possible. We need to carry what we did yesterday into next week, because if we
agree,
we win and we end the tournament with a draw and two wins, like how impressive would that be? And I wouldn't want to be changing anything too much. I think I'd go with Pani as well. I like Pani, and I think maybe Marin at some point further down the line, but for next week at this point in time, I think I'd just bring Pani in. He's been in that squad a little bit more, so I just feel like that's a safer bet, and that left foot can cause a lot of problems.
Yeah. We'd have to work out how we deal with Winnett in the form that he's in as well. So maybe turning him and getting the ball like in behind him might be the play, and we know Pani has a cannon of a boot. So,
boys, I've got to take my mother out for Mother's Day dinner, but I want to just leave with saying one thing. Firstly, the interactions on Twitter have just been crazy. Like, just want to thank everybody for all the interactions, all the retweets, all the likes, blah blah blah. It's been great. You know, we're all trying to do the same thing, and for everyone to sort of be jumping in and using our stuff and retweeting what we're saying, everything, it's been great. And the second point I want to make is, I don't know what you two think, and I'll leave you with this. I feel like if we rated every team at this in the Six Nations this tournament and you marked everyone on their performance, I think there's a really big case for Italy being the most impressive team at this tournament, especially after seeing what Ireland did yesterday. I think this Italian side have been mightily, mightily impressive. And you know, it could have been different in that first game against England. We were a kick away from beating France. There is all the, we could have been, I know it's crazy to say, there's a genuine chance that we could have been there or thereabouts to be competing, maybe even mathematically to win the tournament, which is just mental, really. So I just think that we deserve a huge amount of credit, and I think we've been fucking awesome. But I'll leave you guys with that. I'm going to take my mother out, but thanks for all the love, people. We'll see you two boys real soon.
Hello, March. Have a good one, man.
Another winning week. All right. Ciao, Raga. Ciao.
Ciao, Marcello. Ciao.
So on March's point, mate. I mean, we can definitely say we're most improved, right? And I think if we're gonna go at sort of biggest improvements, you'd then maybe look at like England and, you know,
speaking about the result, one draw, one win last year, zero wins during the Six Nations. It's already like the best improvement.
Yeah, that's true. I think one thing that I'm conscious of as an Italian fan, and you're probably conscious of as an Italian fan, I should say, is we need to back stuff up. We backed up a draw last week with a win. We need to back this up with another win. We need to be grounded. We need to, and Wales aren't just going to roll on their backs and give it to us, you know. So like, people, you know, already counting, you know, our chickens before they've hatched. It's pointless for me.
No, like, no. Nothing is free when it's about Italy rugby, Italian rugby. Nobody give you anything, so no. We have to fight, stay humble, and fight.
We need to sort
focus on ourselves. That is the key for me in the way we have to approach every game now.
Yeah. So
this is a great improvement, but like Eduardo saying, I didn't. Have you watched the game, Mike? I wasn't able.
Yeah. So just if you put Eduardo's comment up, just so people can see. So Wales played very, very well for 60 minutes. Like, to give them credit, they played very well. But also, France have a disgusting bench. Not to say that we don't have a very, very good bench, but France, what I mean by that is France's game plan against us worked against Wales. Because what happened was they managed to put pressure on the players with, like, Antonio running in hard, and then they won the game in the last 30 minutes, right? They ran away with the game. We need to be better than we have been in the first half, because if Wales get a couple of scores ahead, tails go up, we need to be better than we have been to beat Wales. And then we can talk about, you know, our score at the end of the tournament. But for me, you know, we've got a game to win next week. That's the most important thing.
Know how to win there, right?
Done it before.
We did it before. Hopefully not another pain game at the last minute defending, but who knows? Let's see how it's gonna be. Talking about, like, Scotland, Wales, have you seen the next year fixture?
I'm going to
post it here, which is kind of different from we are used to in the last years. We're going to start against Scotland in the round one, and round two, Mike, see you in Rome, I hope so, for Italy, Wales. Yeah. We're going to focus on in some way. And then we're going to play against France next year home, and we ended up in against Ireland. So we play away two games, the one against England and the one against Scotland, and then three home game next year, which is something interesting, Mike.
If we're basing it on this year's Six Nations, right, and obviously I know a lot can be done in a year, right? I know a lot can be done with the other teams in a year's, you know, miles away. But if we base it on this year's Six Nations, right, that's sort of like the perfect, you know, steps for us. Like, if we manage to win a game, right, the first game, pressure's off us, then we can start expressing ourselves later on. And Scotland always talk about the importance of winning their first game, right? That's what they were you know, that's what we saw in the Netflix documentary. I'm sure that's probably what the conversation was this year as well. They can win their first game, then pressure's off and they can start expressing themselves properly.
Right.
We don't really have that luxury. I think last time that happened was 2007, you know, and we beat Wales, we beat Scotland that year. Right, so pressure's off, and then we can express ourselves and show what we can do, and, you know, maybe we can build on the first victory. So nice pictures, mate. Absolutely. We should set up some sort of meet up for next year's Six Nations. We'll organise that. It'd be great to have as many people there as possible this year.
And how cool is going to be, of course, this is something, yes, let's organize another meetup, because we met with Lucho, but we have to spend more time together. The after game, we have to stay all together and have fun. And yeah. Yes, Niels, of course, from everywhere. How cool is gonna be next series, full contact?
Yeah, theater, mate.
I mean,
theater.
It's completely different. For us, it's gonna be like night and day, the moon and the sun, yin and yang, kind already.
And actually, that transitions quite nicely because I do think we need to speak about the other theater that happened. Like this Six Nations has been bonkers. There's been teams rebuilding. There's been teams in transition. There's teams hitting their golden period of rugby. There's teams which are trying to deal with the disappointment of the World Cup. And then, you know, there's us who have started the rebuild. We're probably a year ahead of Wales, let's be honest, because we played our young players really early, and now we're in a position where, you know, we're starting to bear fruit. If someone said to me, right, at the start of this tournament, round four, these are going to be like the results, I wouldn't believe it. However, you asked me after the Italy Ireland game, remember, you said, what would this island do to England? And I said, I don't know. I'm not sure. England always find a way to do bits against Ireland.
The way it came out. What do you think about a drop goal bonus point?
Ridiculous. Let's be honest. I love Marcus. Ridiculous, right? Like, so you've
going
got,
backward.
And also the penalty was on, like, literally in front of the sticks, right? Like, it was just to the left of the sticks. It was guaranteed 3 points. Just pass the ball out for the bonus point. Like, just go for it, gents. Like,
go get it, of course.
Yeah. I mean, it benefits, you know, the other teams at this stage, but
not England. That's
not England.
For the drama, Silver.
Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, yesterday was a really great game. You know, we had loads of, you know, highs and lows, and nerves were probably going, and your heart was probably pounding as much as mine. And then to watch England, Ireland as a neutral, I could just really enjoy that game. Obviously, commiserations to Ireland and Irish friends, because, you know, it would have been some story to have them have back-to-back Grand Slams. But the way England managed to find a way, their defence is starting to work, and Ben Earl just turned Super Saiyan at some point. I swear, like, I saw his hair go blonde and his eyes go blue, and he started floating and taking the ball up and all that shit. So, mate, what a wonderful game. What were your thoughts? Did you manage to catch the game?
Yeah, I like the way they start attacking hard, and for me, who step up from the English ones, man, in some way I love the way we saw Chessum playing at six, Courtney Lowe's style, and man, the try from the first try of the game, the way how Freeman came into the field attacking guard sounds really similar the way they attack against us when in Rome.
Yeah.
And he came into the field, and then they scored the try with Mitchell. So they found some way they can be better, of course. And they're like, they're the old England, let's say, in some way. From the other side, Hugo Keenan, it's
the new South player. They were going for it, right? The way that the style of play and stuff, like, they've basically taken the South African forwards coach, they've taken the South African defense coach, just needed a South African attack coach, and they've got full complement now. But
they need more South Africans in the team, maybe some Ruan Agarman.
always helps, right? Having part mutants,
a couple of good galvanized stuff, no?
Yeah. So talking about part mutants, though, like, I'm a massive fan of George Martin, man. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah,
he's he's a beast. He is an absolute.
The way
beast.
They connect together for the other try, him and Itoje, fast weekends.
Yeah, and he's just he's just a freak, mate. He's so young. Good to see him have.
He's only 22, man. I always forget. June 21 is born. He's born June 21. Mamma mia.
June 21st. Nice to have
a couple of these huge fellas in the field.
Yeah, we got Zambo. He had a good game when he came on. He was working hard. He was tracking left to right. That 24 phase. He's focused.
What I like the way he's really step. He's a different player if you see him now and 2 years ago. So yeah. I really like that. And man, we're missing Dino Lamba, because Dino Lamba and Iachizzi, those two players yesterday speaking with the Italian audience in Italian, those two are the ones that can work as a six for a career, big boy. That's why maybe they try Favretto last week, so something like that. But of course, long life to Seb. But we need options every time, and depending by the game plan and the opposition. So.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we tried with Ruzza last year as well. You know, a few years ago too.
The pass from Itoje was worth the ticket alone, says Matteo on YouTube, which is
for sure. Do you want to talk about the under 20s quickly? Because
happy to see the bomb squad putting 40 points in the second half. So in general,
I'm going to be honest with you, bro. I was nervous, right? When I heard we made so many changes. And we were putting, you know, fringe players, second team players on.
Jimenez starting nine instead of Casilio. Yeah, but some changes there, not the usual, not the one you expect in a game like that. But hey, at the end, the tactics paid, right?
Yeah, for sure. I was a little bit confused at times, and I need to check because I know it happened last year as well. If there's any different rulings with scrums going forward at age grade, if you have to take the ball out, because that was called a lot, and I remember having this thought last year. So if any of you guys know if there's a separate sort of ruling, maybe for like player safety, if scrums are going forward and the ref calls it, obviously you have to use the ball, but is there a specific ruling there? Because it seems like it seems like a weird one for me, right? Like, surely if as long as you're moving forward and it's safe, right? But yeah. Anyway.
Okay, I got you. Actually, I don't know if there is any changes for that, but mamma mia, this Italy is strong. I mean, show the way they can flip over the result against. A good Scotland in the first half, but then was enough. If we spoke about how strong they came back, I like the way we scored with De Villiers. I think was the last try there.
Yeah.
I like that player. I like the way he play. Usually, more like a 12. He's playing in Serie A. So if we go back from the first messages, sometimes the point for the under 20s, they're doing well for a long time, but the players don't have enough chance to play after that age. Some players are playing already in Serie A, like Pucciariello, the son of Federico Pucciarelli, is playing Martino, he's playing for a rugby. Cus Milano is the 10 playing.
I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. I love the way he takes it.
He's a good one, huh?
Man, like, even if you take the kicking aside, and his kicking was good, the way, I'm pretty sure he assisted two tries, but like the way he takes it to the line, his vision is very nice. It's very nice. And I'm trying to think if we have a player like that, or if I can think of a player that we had like that. Yeah, no, maybe he is what Crowley thought Darre would be, where he took it to the line and, You know, he played slightly, maybe.
Maybe Marina is a little bit there.
That's a fair. Yeah, I forgot about Marina. Yeah, that's actually a fair. That's a very fair comment, because Marina obviously played. He played 12 in age grade, didn't he? Yeah, man. He has a big future if we look after him.
I think so. I he's confident in his skills, and that is something important. And you can show he's really good. It's really good the way he kicks already. Seems to be one like cold blood player, like Marine, like some kind of lizard, some kind of snakes are the, these guys, man. And yeah, the, with the thong, yeah. Double thong. Something like that, split the tongue. But what, mamma mia, man! Like, come on, we have a couple of horse, crazy horse, Scalabrine, of course, crazy horse, Scalabrine, impressing more and more.
That was a nice try, is good. Yeah,
but the try was something that you want to see from a guy like him. You want to see even better than that. You want to see him jumping with. Stretch the arms, getting the ball, Caleb Clark style, no, Freddy Stewart style, AFL. As I said, let's push him 15, like 3 months playing Australian football.
Do you think he could potentially be a fullback then? If like, or do you think they should have transitioned him earlier? Because he could, like, he's got the attributes, as in
the follow. Foul-esque.
Yeah, I mean,
Foul-esque.
He's got the attributes, and he just need, like, I'd be interested to see what his aerial game is like at a higher level, you know, just see.
Yeah, and his kicking game too, because I cannot understand how good he's there. He is really good, the way he push away the players, the way he use both hands, both arms when he carry the ball, switching, pushing, offloading, that is, it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
but you can see, like, he can fill so many like white cells with skills.
Yeah. Like, if you're saying, okay, this is what we want in a 15, right? Potentially, right. You could fit a lot of them. But I think it'd be interesting to see what it is. And obviously, we've got Casilio as well, who
Casilio.
So much rugby IQ in that brain, which is nice. He's like a 9.5. I think he understands, you know, his role. I think he understands the 10 role very, very well as well, when he's had to slot in a second receiver because he's been at the bottom of a ruck and he gets up. I think that's a lot of talent that could slot in, you know.
And another one is was maybe the best in the last game was Piero Gritti, the former Gritti international for Italy son, who is playing in the sports in France, and he's showing all the skills you want to see from a second row, back row, or some. He can play in both position. He's good in the line out. He's good out off the ball. He's good carrying the ball. So really good stuff from him, and
good rugby IQ as well.
Yes, that is another stuff that we need in these players. Now understanding, acting before reacting to situations. So good. At the end, another good, let's say, good campaign from the under 20s, and we saw more back playing these years. Of course, we have a strong scrum as usual. We
can Godzilla. The Godzilla coming on the field. Yeah, Gallerini just coming in and...
Gallerini. No, man. Oh, look at this fun fact now, because, of course, this is the best. So, Marine next week. Before was Alongi. And now, Marine, last 4 matches, Marine played for either 3 wins, Wales, Portugal, and Scotland, and 1 draw against France. He's a talisman. Talismarine. Okay, we got it.
Love it. And don't forget, Lionel 1-1 as well, right?
Yes,
of course. 1-1-1.
Everybody. happy here. And man, I'm happy also for Gusen, the way we won with big defense, because he was a servant of the game for Italy in the last years. And I'm happy he's ending up in this way with us. You know where he's going?
No idea. Do you know?
No, maybe we should try to guard him on. And I'm telling you this quick stuff. The last 5 minutes of Italy's game, I start playing Monopoly with Peppa Pig Monopoly with Alma.
Right.
Because it was the best thing to do in those last 5 minutes.
You're stressing out so myself. Much.
God. Yeah. Man, yeah, remember last 2 weeks ago against France, we were after the game like breathless. This time I was less breathless, but man, mamma mia.
Yeah, it's always nice. It's always nice to win. It's always nice to do a podcast when we've won. It's always great to, you know, highlight the good and actually have a lot of stuff to show about it, which is always nice. But yeah, I think we're in a position now where, you know, we got a backup next week. We got backup next week, and I know you're going to be probably doing a full breakdown on Wales, Scotland, or you know what to expect from Wales because. What you do, but yeah, we need
some stuff coming in the next week, next days, and let's see if we're gonna have another pod, a special one, something different in the upcoming days too. So it's gonna be something. Tell me, Mike. Tell
us. No, I was just gonna say, like a absolute shameless plug-in. But if you guys have enjoyed what you've listened to, then please just like, subscribe. If you've got any WhatsApp groups or anything that you guys want to have a conversation about Italy, Scotland, or you know maybe provide some thoughts about what some Italian guys thought about the game, then stick them in there. But guys, thank you so much for your time, Anotto. I think we're probably coming close to our cap because we've just run over an hour, haven't we?
Yeah, 1 hour is enough for this podcast, the happy podcast, the winning podcast this week. Hopefully it's going to be something.
Rugby wins,
and we're happy for that because, of course, when we won, nobody spoke about the referee, but we don't like to speak about the referee. So it's nice in this way because Italy worth more than referee and laws for us. So
that's right,
guys. Grazie a tutti. Thank you so much. Subscribe and everything, and see you next. And now let's play our nice. How we call it, the end video, the outro. And of course, if you want to catch up again this pod, you can listen it on Spotify in the next hours. It's going to be available for everybody. Ciao a tutti, Forza Italia.
Ciao raga.